Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally. Brad Locke here with Dalton Milton for another look at the high school sports scene in Northeast Mississippi. Football season is well underway. Well, only a week underway, but Dalton, it's here. And so everything's just football, football, and more football.
Yeah, even with it only being a week underway, it feels like we're well underway. Well, how much stuff's going on.
By the time you get the football tab done, you've been working on this stuff for weeks. So yeah, we've been chin deep in football for several weeks now here at the Journal. So thanks for joining us for this episode. We're going to spend the next few minutes talking mostly football. We do have some basketball news to talk about. Got a couple of big tournaments in the area that have announced their fields. We've got the Lighthouse Classic coming up around Thanksgiving and the Tangled on the Trail coming up in January, so we'll look at those as well. What we're going to do first here is we'll look back at some of last week's key football games. We'll look ahead to some of this week's key games. Before we do, just a reminder that you can access this podcast many different ways. We're in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Start with Tupelo and Meridian. Dalton, we knew this would be a good game. Meridian is one of the better teams in the state, as is Tupelo. So you go in thinking this is a really good litmus test in the season opener for both teams, and it was not pretty, as you witnessed, Dalton, but all's well that ends well for Tupelo. They got the win 34-25. A lot of fumbles and whatnot, wasn't there?
Yeah, it wasn't pretty at all. There was 8 turnovers total in the game, wow. And there was 33 penalties total in the game. So there was a lot of first-game jitters, I guess you could say. Tupelo kind of took control early in the game. You know, on the very first defensive drive, that you know, they had a fumble recovery for a touchdown,
yeah,
off a bad snap on a punt, and then they go down there and Stephon McGlon scores on a 30-yard touchdown run, put them up 14-0. They kind of held Meridian in check the entire first half. You know, they had 3 interceptions in the first half off of Tavarius Adams, who's one of the top quarterbacks in the state. And then the second half, it kind of they couldn't get off the field, it seemed like. Third downs, they would commit penalties, face mask after face mask. They'd allow a big pass. And, you know, Meridian ended up throwing for 250 yards in the second half, 3 touchdowns. Tavarius Adams ran for another touchdown. And they allowed 25 second-half points. But whenever they needed to on offense, they relied on J-Rock, and he kind of carried them to that win there. He had a couple big kickoff returns, some big long runs, and, you know, he did really well for them in that game. He was kind of the star player.
He was kind of their rock last year at times. Jaquarius Williams, running back, 117 yards and the 2 touchdowns on 17 rushes. And, you know, the run game did very well overall, not surprising, between him and McGlon, who can run it, 210 yards. The downside, 4 fumbles, right? Mm-hmm. So mixed bag there.
One fumble was a bad snap that went about 20 yards over McGlon's head, but the 3 fumbles, that is something to worry about going forward. Williams said that they're going to work extremely hard on ball security this week.
I bet they are.
And I'm sure they did. I'm sure Hammond tore them a new one in that one.
So Trent Hammond, kind of what's his assessment after this first game? His defense had some really good moments, but then, like you said, they had trouble getting off the field. They gave up some points in the second half.
He liked the way his defense played. He didn't like the way they committed penalties. He was overall, you're always happy with a win, no matter how ugly it is.
Sure.
But he said that if he can get them off the field, you know, he sees those core values that his defense has that can make them a great defense. And like Jet Johnson said earlier in the season, the best defense in the state is their goal.
Right.
And so they clean up the penalties and clean up, you know, some big plays they allowed. You know, very well could be.
Yeah. So Tupelo opens the season with the win over Meridian. The game I was at, I went down to Houston. They took on Pontotoc. Houston was a 4A team the last few years. They dropped down to 3A this year. Pontotoc is a 4A team. I thought this would be a pretty close game, and it was for a half. Pontotoc led at halftime 14-6. Both offenses just kind of had trouble finding some consistency there. And then the third quarter, Emmanuel Vance just kind of took things into his own hands. The running back for Pontotoc scored 3 touchdowns in that quarter, and that pretty much put the game away as Pontotoc went on to win 41-12 on the road. Vance, with a huge game, ended up, by my count, with 204 yards on 20 carries. He had the 3 touchdowns. They all came in the third quarter from 52, 12, and 31 yards. And so, you know, let's not forget, he's the backup running back. Okay, Gabe Harmon is the starting running back, but he's out for probably the first half of the season with an injury. So, and he's just one of several Pontotoc players, including 3 key players, I believe, on defense that are out with injuries. And so this is a banged-up team going on the road to a Houston team that you figure is going to be pretty good, especially with Uriah Shepherd at quarterback, and really got an impressive road win. Vance, they could not tackle him in the third quarter. I don't know if they were worn out or he was just too strong for him. He's not a small kid at all. Austin Morfis, wide receiver and defensive back, also had an impressive game on both sides of the ball. He hit a Houston kid at one point. I mean, it was one of the most violent hits I've ever seen. As soon as the kid caught the ball, he got laid out. He popped up. Credit to the receiver. He popped up. But Austin Morfis, he's an impressive looking player there for Pontotoc. Sticking with the offense, you know, big question coming into the season, Dalton, was who's going to be the quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
You got London Jordan, the senior. He's been a backup. He was a backup for Jacob Carter the last couple of years. And then he had Justin Carter, Jacob's younger brother, who was also in the mix. London got the start, had played the first 2 series. They couldn't really get the offense moving. And then Justin Carter comes in, and bam, he completes all 3 of his passes on his first drive and leads Pontotoc to a touchdown, first touchdown of the game. So Justin Carter came in and he hit Morfis for the touchdown, 18 yards out. Carter came in and really impressed, had a good game overall. He completed 9 of 15 passes for 190 yards, so a very efficient. He hit some long plays. London Jordan did get some more playing time. He came in several times throughout the game. He ended up throwing a long touchdown pass there, I think, in the fourth quarter, it was 62 yards. So, yeah, you know, Coach Jeff Carter, he told me after the game, you know, nothing's settled. We're still going to try to get both of these guys playing time. And I kind of hinted that eventually he'd like to get it to – he'd like to have one guy step up and be the main quarterback. I don't think he wants to go 2 QBs the whole season. Most coaches don't. So as far as that first game goes, I say Justin Carter had a little more impressive performance, but we'll see. Just as impressive as anything the offense did was the defense. I mentioned Uriah Shepherd, Dalton. He's a dual-threat quarterback. Piled up the yards each of the last 2 seasons, both passing and running. He's very good at both. He just he had trouble getting going, and Pontotoc did a really good job of containing him because, I mean, he still made some plays. Now, when he gets out of the box and starts scrambling, he's dangerous. And he got loose a handful of times, but for the most part, he just really couldn't find guys to throw to. He couldn't find a whole lot of running room. He got sacked, I think, 3 times. He lost 2 fumbles. And Pontotoc's defense just did a really good job of kind of tracking him the whole game. That was a huge key. He just never really could get the offense into a consistent rhythm there. So Pontotoc with the win, 41-12. Some other games of note, some other results of note. You had Itawamba AHS defeating Ripley 28-7. The Itawamba quarterback, first-year starter. Jackson Orr. Had a good game. I think he threw for 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up with 151 yards on 8 completions. That's not bad.
No, it's not. That's really efficient. And I think Ripley is going to struggle a little bit this season with a playmaker. You know, they only scored 1 touchdown. I think it was a Trey Blanchard touchdown.
I think it was the last play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're going to And they're going to kind of struggle this year. They don't have much size on that team.
Yeah, and then and you've seen Itawamba at practice, and you saw the Orr kid. I mean,
yeah, he looked good when I went and watched him. What really impressed me when I was there was Lane Domino, but I think he had like 1 catch for like 4 yards and a touchdown in the game. But you know, Jackson Orr, he made some plays whenever I was there.
Yeah.
Their defense impressed me more than their offense when I went and watched them. But you mean they also held Ripley to only 1 touchdown, so that says something about
them. They shut out Ripley for pretty much the whole game until the final play, I think it was. Shannon, another notable result. Shannon defeating Corinth to open the season, 28-14. Jordan Gillian, I think that's how you say his last name, forgive me. Jordan Gillian, the quarterback for Shannon, had a huge first half. That's when he did most of his damage. He passed for 341 yards and 3 touchdowns in the first half. Shannon went on to beat Corinth 28-14. You know, we've said it before, the Red Raiders have a big question mark on defense, but they did have some injuries last year that kind of hurt them the second half of the season when they gave up so many points. And this first game, at least, you know, maybe part of it's Corinth's offense, but Shannon only gave up 14 points. So that's a good, solid open season opening win for Daryl Carter and his Shannon team. Also, Smithville defeats Belmont 20-18 in a tight one there. Smithville, one of the better 1A teams in the area, and they won a squeaker. I think they stopped a two-point conversion there late in the game to preserve the two-point win. One other team I want to talk about real quick, just because I did a story on it. I won't spend too much time, but Biggersville, off to a 1-0 start. They had a big win against Middleton, Tennessee, 39-19. All their touchdowns scored by two players, Quan Mays and Quamon Davis. Quamon is the tailback and also returns kicks. He scored four of the touchdowns, two on runs, two on kick returns, including one to open the game. Quan Mays is quarterback, plays defensive back as well. He ran for a touchdown and had a touchdown on an interception return. And these guys are both juniors. They're both obviously big-time playmakers. They were both key players last year, although Davis missed about half the season with an injury, and so they were really struggling there to replace him last year when he went down. But he's back, and you know, those two guys, you know, the Biggersville will go as far as those two guys take them, I think, because they're a 23-man roster. They've got a lot of freshmen they're having to play. I was talking to the coach, Stan Platt, in his second season. And when he took the job last year, it was his first head coaching job since 2000 when he was at Kirby High School in Memphis. So he was out of the game for a while. He talked about that and about how much things have changed. But he's kind of working on building a nucleus with these younger guys, these freshmen. The 7th, 8th grade team went undefeated last year at Biggersville, so could have a bright future. And you still got Mays and Davis for another year after this year. So check out my story there that I had. I think that was Tuesday's journal. Yeah, also at djournal.com. Let's look ahead, Dalton, to some of this week's key games. We've got the game you'll be at. Let's start with that. Tupelo, our number one large school, at Corinth. Curious how Corinth will do. Corinth is, you know, again, they lost to Shannon. They had a tough – they didn't make the playoffs last year, which was unusual for them. They've got John D. Warren at quarterback. So, I don't know. I could see this game getting out of hand if Tupelo starts fast.
Yeah, I don't expect it to be close. I hate saying that, but Tupelo just looked really good offensively in the run game, and they had moments where they were explosive passing the ball. So, you know, Corinth allowed 340 yards in the first half. If Tupelo goes out there and that they start throwing the ball all over the place, it could get really out of hand really quick. And, you know, last year they played, I think Corinth put up 20-plus points on Tupelo. They had, and it was the first year running that wing T. They've seen it last year.
Yeah.
They've been watching film on it all week. I'm sure they have some kind of scheme to plan for it now. And I think Tupelo's going to run away with it. I don't expect it to be too close at any point in time.
Yeah, that would be I think so too. And I don't think that's any disrespect to Corinth. I think that's mm-mm. just a matter of Tupelo is really good. Again, they're our number one large school, and they're number one for a reason. So that'll be at Corinth, though. So, you know, home field advantage for whatever that's worth. A game I'll be at will be the annual Skunk Bowl. They've been playing it for a long time. Baldwin and Boonville, they only recently started calling it the Skunk Bowl. You may recall that skunk got loose on the sidelines a few years ago. So I gave it a good name, but it's always been a good rivalry. And I'll have a story on that in Friday's paper. And I kind of focused the story on actually the coaches, because look at the coaching staffs for these two schools. They are both very steeped in this rivalry. They both got deep ties to the schools at which they coach. Mike Maddox, head coach at Boonville, actually played at Kossuth, but he played for Jim Drury at Kossuth. Jim Drury then later became the Boonville coach for the second time and brought Maddox on board. And Maddox has been there, I think, 25 years now, and this will be, I think, his eighth as head coach. I think that's right. And most of his assistants also have been there a long time. So you've got Jody Presley and Ray Scott both been there 10 or 12 years, and you've got Rick Coggin. He's been there like 26 years. So these guys know about the rivalry. And then on the Baldwin side, Michael Gray, a head coach there, I think he's in his ninth year as head coach. He has been at the school 24 years overall. Okay, he played there. His assistants all played there. Greg Tucker, he's been there a long time. Drew Allen, Neil Allen, they all played at Baldwin. So, and what's interesting is one of the Boonville assistants actually played at Baldwin. So he's got the view from both sides. That's Ray Scott for Boonville. So should be a good game. I was talking with Mike Maddox about their season opening win over Mooreville, 28-12. You got Dallas Gamble, the dual threat quarterback there for the Blue Devils. Maddox liked the way he played. He really praises his work ethic. In fact, and this is a direct quote, and this kind of stuck out to me when Mike was talking about Dallas Gamble. He said his work ethic is better than any kid we've ever had. And that's saying something, because Boonville kids know how to work. I mean, obviously they're successful year in and year out. So look for Dallas Gamble to maybe have a good game. Baldwin looking to bounce back from a loss to New Albany, 21-14. Michael Gray said a lot of the problem was them just shooting themselves in the foot, and some of the older players not playing up to his expectations. So those guys will be kind of in the spotlight from him this week. So Baldwin at Boonville. Baldwin, our number 5 ranked small school for now. Boonville could change that. And then finally, number 3 Oxford at number 4 Starkville, two of our ranked large schools. Always a good game, Dalton, Oxford and Starkville. I'm curious to see how well Oxford performs in this one. They beat Vicksburg at that red carpet bowl down there at Warren Central, 21-6. Starkville coming off a season opening blowout win over Noxubee County. They got the new coach, Chris Jones. He won the state title in last year at Kemper County in 3A. So that's one of those annual matchups. They always play each other. They both happen to be 6A schools now since Oxford got bumped up. They've been playing each other a lot in recent years. That's a game to watch. I believe we'll have Paul Jones at that game. So just some key games, certainly a lot more worth noting, and you can find our full coverage in Friday's Journal. We'll have the football capsules we always have previewing the all the games, and we'll have coverage Saturday as well. Let's talk basketball real quick, Dalton. The Lighthouse Classic announced its field earlier this week. That's that annual event up there in Corinth. I think this is going to be its 5th year, if I'm not mistaken. And it's turned out to be one of the premier basketball events in the South. I mean, just anywhere. The field is loaded with talent. You've got local teams like Holka with Medarius Hobson. He's really good player. You've got local, and of course, you got the host team, Corinth, and they're always good. Keith Green led them to a state title a couple of years ago. Oklahoma, they're going to be good this year. They're in the field. Then you got some teams from out of state, like they always have, some really good programs like Aspire Academy out of Louisville, Kentucky, Prolific Prep out of Napa, California. They finished last season ranked 13th, I think it was, in the Max Preps national rankings. And then you've got Sunrise Christian from Kansas, Believe Prep out of Athens, Tennessee. And you've got a total, I think, of 18 games over 2 days, November 24th and 25th. And I'm sure this is something you will be at, Dalton. I may go too, just to watch, if nothing else, because it's going to have some big time players, big time teams, but also big time players. Some guys you'll see playing Division One, both from local teams. I mentioned Medarius Hobson, and also you've got Olive Branch is going to play, as well as Columbus. They both have some big D1 guys. Olive Branch has the DJ Jeffries kid. He's ranked as the number 6 prospect in the nation for 2019 by ESPN. Columbus has Robert Woodard II. He's ranked number 36 by ESPN for the class of 2018. So that, if you want to see some good basketball, that's the place you need to be. November 24th and 25th, the Lighthouse Thanksgiving Classic. And also, we just found out today, they released the field for the Tangle on the Trail. This is an even newer tournament than the Lighthouse. This will be its 3rd year. They played over at Pontotoc, and they're expanding this year, actually. They just spoke with Kyle Hurd, the Pontotoc girls coach, this morning about it. And it's going to be a 2-day event now. It used to be just 1 day. And they're going to have a total of 9 boys games and 4 girls games. The girls lineup is probably one of the best lineups I've seen. On Saturday morning, they're going to play Pontotoc against Neusite, Belmont against Lafayette, Ingemar, reigning 2A champ, against Tupelo, and Olive Branch. That won 6A last year. They had that pulled recently for using an ineligible player, but they're still good. They'll take on Choctaw Central, which is down in Jackson every year competing for a state title. So that right there is worth the price of admission. But you're going to have some really good boys teams, obviously. You're going to have Ingemar against Holly Springs to start the thing off on that Friday. Pontotoc will play Bickersville. Then Saturday you'll have Holka with Madarius Hobson taking on Cordova, Alabama. A lot of these teams, it's going to be Mississippi versus Alabama in a lot of these games, such as I mentioned, Holka against Cordova. You're going to have a Jackson Academy here from Mississippi against Huffman, Alabama. And Kyle Hurd was sending me a bunch of info on I'm still getting texts from him right now about some of these players. They're going to be in the tournament from Holly Springs, Daquan Smith. He's got offers from Ole Miss and Memphis, among others. You've got Deontay Wood from Sacred Heart Catholic in Alabama. He's got offers from Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, Wichita State, UAB, South Florida, some other schools. You got Cordova's Isaac Chapman. He got offers from Auburn, Stanford, College of Charleston, Harvard, Yale. I mean, and the list goes on. Got a lot. We'll get them all. We'll have a story up here. If it's not up by now, it will be soon about this tournament. So something else you may be going to cover, Dalton. So you know where you'll be. And by the way, this will be January 5th and 6th at Pontotoc High School. So mark your calendars.
Yeah, so that'll be exciting for sure. I mean, I don't know too much about the basketball teams around here, but I have covered some, like Columbus, who's going to be playing in Lighthouse Classic, and like you just named, all those special players that are going to be there. It's going to be exciting to watch.
Certainly will be. Okay, let's we're running a little bit long. That's all right. Let's close out the show with our athletes of the week. We do this every week. We honor a female and male athlete for their exploits on the field of play. Let's go with the female athlete of the week first. Maggie Smithy, a senior softball player for Ingomar. They lost to Morville Tuesday night, 17-13, but she had four hits, three of them home runs. Okay, if you hit three home runs in a game, even in slow pitch, to me that puts you right there in the running for athlete of the week. So congrats to Maggie Smithy of Ingomar. Male athlete of the week, we talked about him earlier, Emmanuel Vance, the running back from Pontotoc. He's a junior. He had 20 carries, 204 yards, three touchdowns in that win over Houston. So congrats to Emmanuel Vance as well. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Again, thanks for tuning in. You can find us on iTunes or podcast apps or at preprally.djournal.com. Find us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there as well at dlmiddleton8. And I'm on there at Brad Locke. Okay, that's it. We'll see y'all next week. Thanks.